WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Mayor Brandon Johnson may not be able to bring Chicago home after all. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The mayor's plan to alter the real estate transfer tax to fund homeless services was years in the making, and it was a major win for advocates and Johnson when city council approved a referendum on the measure for the March primary. The question, which is already printed on the ballot, was set to be the first binding referendum in Chicago in decades. But on Friday afternoon, without much explanation as to why, a judge ruled that it's invalid. For now, the question will remain, but unless there's a successful appeal, votes for Bring Chicago Home won't be tallied. We checked in with WBEZ city government and politics reporter Tessa Weinberg for the details.
So voters will see it on the ballot as they go through it and make their choices, but any votes cast for that will not be counted, will not be released. The judge, we just got a written order this morning, directed that any of those votes that are cast for or against it be suppressed and not made public. And so that's something where supporters, while they were disappointed in the judge's decision, were, you know, immediately saying they're still going to be campaigning. They're going to still be encouraging people to vote on this in hopes that on appeal, it would maybe get reinstated. So it's kind of in a little bit of a limbo right now as we wait to see, you know, if there will be more court action and rulings.
So still a bit of optimism on the part of proponents.
Yes.
Of this, of this referendum. So let's talk about that judge, Cook County Circuit Judge Kathleen Burke. She gave very little explanation for this ruling. Why?
Yeah, it was honestly, in my time, you know, I've never really, I think, sat in on a court hearing like this. It was a little bizarre of, you know, for hours, the judge read out loud both sides, different filings for various motions, word for word, even reading the previous court cases that they were citing. But then when she actually came time to make her ruling, she really did not expound on why. She didn't really provide much more of her reasoning or thinking behind it. And similarly, we were kind of hoping in this written order today, maybe there'd be some more of that. And there really wasn't. And so there's not a lot of insight into why she was maybe ruling for or against. And so we're kind of just having to go based off of, you know, what we have in hand, which isn't much. But
yeah, bizarre is a good word to use here. You report that Burke denied a motion by the city to intervene in this case.
Yes. So the city wanted to, you know, be a party of this case. They said we're the proper party that this should be filed against. So that the lawsuit was filed by real estate industry groups who want to block this referendum question. And it was filed against the Chicago Board of Elections. And they are, you know, the administrator of our city's elections. And they argued, you know, we're just the folks who are following the rules of how ballots get certified. We're just the people really printing this and putting it out, that we are not the proper, you know, party for this to be sued, that really should be the city or the city council. But she denied the city's motion to intervene, and it went forward against the Board of Elections. So when it comes to this appeal, we're waiting to see, is the Board of Elections going to appeal it? Or my understanding is that the city can also appeal, even though they were denied as an intervener in the case.
Right, right. Now, we know this is a big win for folks in the real estate industry. Remind us what their argument was in this case overall.
Yeah, so they were hitting on a couple different points. You know, they argued that this referendum question violates state law. This whole process for how the city can raise the transfer tax is dictated by state law, which is very specific, saying, you know, down to how the ballot question has to be worded. Mm-hmm. And if the city wants to change or increase this transfer tax, they have to get voters to approve it. And so opponents argued, since this tax this proposal would both raise the tax and propose a tax cut, they argued that's not outlined in state law. You can't do both. Mm-hmm. They also argued this was an example of log rolling by combining these two, you know, different parts of, you know, something that would maybe be popular with a tax cut versus a tax increase.
Oh, I see. And
they argued the question was just worded too vaguely, you know, trying to prevent homelessness. They argued that's not specific enough for voters to actually know what they're voting on.
Was there some apprehension for something like this to even be in voters' hands to begin with?
Yeah, I think this was kind of their last-ditch attempt to try to make sure, you know, really just not to boot it off the ballot, to not have it be something voters would consider. And so we'll see if that remains the case or if it's going to get reinstated back on if folks appeal.
And what was the argument on the other side of things? So the groups who are behind Bring Chicago Home.
Yeah, they argued that, you know, the judge should not be weighing in on this point because it's part of the legislative process, that, you know, they need to allow voters to weigh in and have their say. And, you know, supporters have long, you know, why they want this on the ballot is they say there needs to be a dedicated, you know, revenue source to address the rising numbers of people experiencing homelessness in the city. You know, opponents, as they were walking out of the courtroom, you know, they were chanting 68K need a place to stay in reference to the number of people they estimate are experiencing
68,000 people are homeless. And as we know, this is we've been saying today, even this is this was an initiative to address the city's homelessness issue. But did we know the exact way that the money was from the tax was going to be used?
Yeah, that's been a point of contention of, you know, the ballot language itself does not lay out, you know, here's what buckets of funding it would go to. Mm-hmm. It broadly says to prevent homelessness and says that could be things like through, you know, housing and other supportive programs. And supporters have said, you know, that could look like things like rental subsidies or services like mental health care. But compared to, for example, in Los Angeles, where voters similarly approved a similar measure there recently, you know, that ballot language is very specific and specific percentages of how much money would go to what things.
Yeah.
And so that has been a point of contention with opponents saying we're cutting the city another blank check if we are approving this without a detailed plan.
And to your earlier point, that's why they said the language is just too vague at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know about how many property sales this measure would increase taxes on?
Yeah, so supporters say that it'd be about like 93-94% of properties would experience this as a tax cut. And so property valued under $1 million would actually get a tax cut on this tax. And then any property...
Because we got more people covering that than folks who've got high value properties, over a million.
Yeah, it's really only these properties over a million. And then even properties valued above $1.5 million see the highest tax increase. And that's where real estate groups have said this is going to really affect the commercial industry the most. You know, our downtown at a time when it's still recovering, whereas supporters have said, you know, it's time for the wealthy to pay their fair share. And that's kind of been their argument for, you know, why we should go this route to build a fund homelessness prevention.
Right. And how many of the 68,000 people experiencing homelessness, my question is, how many of them are expected to be impacted by this tax?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's hard to put a number on it when we don't know how the dollars might be spent yet. Yeah, I think that might come down to how we see the funding get used if this were to pass. And that is something where if voters were to approve this, it would authorize the city council to then actually enact this tax increase. And then they say there will be a board of, you know, advisors essentially who will weigh in on how to, you know, what the funding should go toward. And then the city council would have to actually pass an ordinance specifying how the funding would be spent. So there would still be some more steps along the way.
So we talked about how voters will still see this referendum on their ballot. Why isn't the Chicago Board of Elections taking it off now? Do you know?
Yeah, so it's in part of the judge simply ordered that the votes get suppressed and not be, you know, counted and made public. She did not say, you know, that ballots need to be, you know, reprinted, that voting machines need to be, you know, reprogrammed. And folks have already been voting on this.
So we'll still get a sense then, Tessa, of how Chicagoans feel about this.
Yeah, well, so those votes won't be made public, though. So we won't know, you know, if this court order stands and it doesn't on appeal get reinstated. We won't know really at the end of the day how people voted either way. And so we'll see, though. I don't know if there'll be next steps of, you know, notices sent to voters or what comes next to help people understand, you know, this is still on the ballot, but your votes won't be counted.
Well, with that in mind, I mean, should voters still seriously consider this piece of the ballot?
Yeah, I mean, that's what supporters, they want people to still weigh in. I would would assume maybe opponents also, of just in the case that if this were to get reinstated, then those votes will, you know, be counted then. And so that's why I think, you know, they're still really urging people. They're still knocking on doors, still saying, you know, you should still vote for this because there's still a chance.
Your voice can still be heard. Mm-hmm. How long can an appeal process take for something like this?
Yeah, we'll have to see, you know, how fast the courts rule. If this goes up to like the Illinois Supreme Court, for example, one election attorney who's advising the Bring Chicago Home campaign said there's a chance that if it, you know, kept moving through the courts and a court ruled even past election day that, no, this should be counted, you know, it should be reinstated, those votes should be counted, that could happen even after the March primary election. Mm-hmm. And so we might be in for a long, drawn-out process. Kind of remains to be seen on, you know, if someone's going to take that step to appeal.
And of course, Tessa, we know you're keeping an eye on not just this, but all things primary election right now. What's top of mind for you?
Yeah, I think this, you know, referendum ruling is going to be one of the most exciting consequential things on the ballot. And right now with it still in flux, I think there's a lot to follow and see. Meanwhile, you know, you could go check out on WBZ.org. All of our colleagues have been doing amazing profiles of the different races and candidates. So there's a lot to read up on. And even though, you know, maybe it's a Democratic primary, there's still lots of differences between these candidates.
Right.
So lots of exciting stuff to dig into.
And before I let you go, one more time for the people in the back. What are the top takeaways from this decision that just came down on Friday about Bring Chicago Home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the takeaways are, you know, a judge has ruled that this referendum question is invalid, but you will still see it on your ballot. Those votes as of right now will not be counted and tallied, and supporters are still encouraging people to vote in the chance it does get reinstated on appeal. And the Chicago Board of Elections says, you know, they're weighing whether they're going to pursue one, and we might be finding out as soon as tomorrow if they will be appealing the judge's ruling.
We'll keep an eye. Tessa Weinberg is a city government and politics reporter for WBEZ. Thank you so much for this update.
Yeah, thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Brenda Ruiz and edited by Dan Tucker and Meha Ahmed. For more coverage of Bring Chicago Home and the March 19th primary election, go to WBEZ.org/reset. We've covered key congressional races, when, where, and how to vote, and much more. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.